Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
There are a lot of different types of facts. Historical, behavioral, spiritual, scientific, etc. Today's discussion will focus on scientific facts. Hi, this is Jay Oxt of the Institute for Scientific and Biblical Research with another program produced for Wellspring Christian Family Schools. Here's the argument that I hear all too often these days. In science, there are no facts or laws. Everything is just a theory, subject to change or revision with new discoveries. My response to that argument is, this argument is a belief system, not science. Science includes an enormous number of disciplines, aspects, and features. There are way too many to discuss in a single paper, but I think we can pick any one of several to show that the above stated argument is a belief system, not a science. Let's work with the concept of mass. Specifically, let's work with the engineering uses of mass. The following equations are facts. You will see why shortly. F equals ma. In other words, force equals mass times acceleration. E equals 1/2 mv squared. In other words, energy equals 1/2 of mass times the velocity squared. D equals m over v. In other words, density equals mass divided by volume. Rho equals mv. In other words, momentum equals mass times velocity. P equals m over a. In other words, pressure equals mass divided by area. S equals m over a. That would be stress equals mass divided by area. The difference between S and P is generally whether it's you're referring to solids or liquids. This formula for stress is a straightforward and assumes no bending, but there are numerous conditions where bending occurs. A typical structural engineering book will have several hundred pages and list nearly 100 such conditions, each with a distinctly different equation. Each and every one has their derivation from the sciences and are validated or confirmed in actual applications on a daily basis. These formulas are used by thousands of engineers all over the world every single day. You use thousands of products designed with the use of these formulas every single day as well. And these are just the engineering uses for mass. There are numerous others as well. Think of the number of components in your house and car. All of them require some sort of stress analysis, even if only qualitative as opposed to quantitative, in their original design. This is observational science. The world is the largest, most commonly used laboratory there is. These hundreds of equations involving mass are confirmed as facts each and every day. With billions of people on Earth, this confirmation occurs trillions of times every single day. The world is a huge laboratory. These are facts. There are also laws. One such law pertains to the conservation of mass and energy. We won't discuss this law in great detail, but what if mass actually defies this law of conservation and simply changed without cause? Then none of these equations would have merit. The value for force, energy, density, all of these that we mentioned, and every other formula would change without merit. And nothing you have has any confidence for use. You do use these items with confidence, right? And therefore you know, without a doubt, that that is not the case. That's just for engineering. If the mass could change for engineering functions, then it would also simultaneously, without cause, affect astrophysics, biology, chemistry, electrics, magnetics, physics, thermodynamics, and every other field of science. Consequently, you are a part of the largest laboratory there is and have confirmed for yourself the scientific law, the first law of thermodynamics, that mass is never created or destroyed. You confirm this law every single day. You must also consider that if there would ever be a single exception to the facts represented by these hundreds of equations, then none of the facts or equations could ever be used with confidence again. And the first law of thermodynamics would also be void. What's the difference between a law and a fact? The facts are the individual truths that apply to specific applications. The laws are the truths that apply to the all-encompassing facts. In other words, they are intertwined in a manner such that they confirm each other gazillions of times every day. Did you catch that? The facts and the laws are intertwined in a manner such that they confirm each other gazillions of times every day. Are there exceptions to these facts and laws? Well, that would depend on how you define the word exception. Let me give you several examples. Number one, exceptions due to measurement limitations. Sometimes the measurement is simply too small. Example, an instrumentation improves year after year. We are capable of observing things today that we have heretofore never been able to observe. These observations never void a previous known fact. They provide additional applications of these facts. And as mentioned previously, for engineering structural evaluations alone, there are over 100 conditions, all with different applications, and thus all with different formulas. All areas of science have multiple conditions and applications. That's just normal. These are application problems, not fact problems. How about too large to measure? I mentioned too small to measure. How about too large to measure? Example, it's well-known fact that a small, say, concrete or rock sample appears to be stronger than a larger sample of the same concrete or rock. Scientists cannot measure the strength of a concrete or rock sample that is too heavy or too large to test. That's not a challenge to the science. Failures often form at flaws in this sample. So the larger the sample, the more flaws that will be present. That limitation is expected. Once again, these are application problems, not a fact problem. Another measurement problem can be that it's impossible to measure it accurately. At my previous employment, we produced a device that needed to withstand 20,000 pounds of vertical force. However, people often attempted to design structures, buildings and bridges and whatnot, on the data from this instrument, ranging down in the range of 10 pounds. 10 pounds out of 20,000. That's 0.05% of the tool's rated overall strength. Due to the hostile environment where it's used, that hostile environment could easily alter that measurement by plus or minus 50 pounds. This is a huge problem because all too often, engineers and scientists evaluate data at face value without considering the limitations of the measurement capabilities. Does that inaccurate data change true science into false science? No. Once again, this is an application issue, not a problem with the facts. Engineers, doctors, and scientists, they constantly fail to recognize measurement limitations. This is a huge problem for technical people. Imagine the confusion that this causes laymen. Okay, example number two. People play games with word choices by calling some scientific theories facts. Then, when things go wrong, they continue to play word games with other aspects of their theory in order to continue to justify it as a fact. Example, I'll read a paragraph from the New Scientist magazine, a peer-reviewed journal, that goes like this. The Big Bang Theory relies on a growing number of hypothetical entities, things that we have never observed. Inflation, dark matter, and dark energy are the most prominent. Without them, there would be fatal contradictions between the observations made by astronomers and the predictions of the Big Bang Theory. In no other field of physics would this continual recourse to new hypothetical objects be accepted as a way of bridging the gap between theory and observation. It would at least raise serious questions about the validity of the underlying theory. That's from the May 22, 2004 edition of The New Scientist. So this is one example where scientists are using word games to convince you that the Big Bang is a fact, when in fact, even they recognize that it is a very, very poor theory. Example number three. There can also be a matter of interpretation. Aside from data being invalid or limited, interpretations can sometimes also be totally wrong. I remember working with that particular company with a customer in Florida once. The owner of the company was rip-snorting mad because our data was wrong. He based that conclusion on his data from a previous technique that was very crude and not very accurate. By exercising some mathematic comparisons of the data from both test procedures, I was able to show him that it was the data from his previous test pressure procedure that was limited in value. It took a few moments, but he was a bright individual and realized that I was right. Then he got mad a second time because that meant that he had counseled his clients wrong based on this data of less value. I thought about it a moment and I said, no, not actually. Your counsel was based on the best interpretation of the data that you could have possibly made. You cannot counsel your clients based on information that you do not have. He agreed and we had no further conflicts. The good news was that his previous interpretation of his prior data erred on the side of safety, so there was no harm done. Point being, interpretation of data and of scientific facts are entirely two different things. Interpretation of data and scientific facts are entirely two different things. Once again, this is an application issue, not a problem with the science. Example number four. Aside from the numerous natural exceptions, as mentioned above, there can also be supernatural exceptions. Example number one. Comically, all too many people, including many scientists, insist on providing natural explanations for the Genesis chapter 1 creation week. As this chapter is worded, obviously, this was a supernatural event, not a natural event. There could have been some natural processes in play here, but for the most part, creation week was a supernatural event, or a series of them. From a scientific perspective, the universe either A, had a beginning, in which case natural explanations violate the first law of thermodynamics, or B, it has always been here, in which case natural explanations violate the second law of thermodynamics. It either had a beginning or it didn't. In both cases, it violates fundamental laws of physics. We discussed the first law of thermodynamics above. Similarly, the second law of thermodynamics is confirmed all over the world trillions of times per day as well. Thus, since the origin of the universe could not have occurred by natural causes, the only alternative is a supernatural cause. The same thing goes for the origin of life. The same thing goes for the continued existence of life. We'll come back to those second, two, and three a little bit later. But let's, so that we don't get lost in our discussion here, let's reiterate the initial argument. The original statement was that people make, or I should say the original argument that people make is, in science, there are no facts or laws. Everything is just a theory, subject to change or revision with new discoveries. That's the argument. And now let's reiterate my response to that argument. This argument is a belief system, not science. Hopefully you could see that from the illustrations above. The discussion on the topic of mass shows how mass cannot simply occur or disappear by some yet-to-be-known process. If that were the case, if it were to defy the first law of thermodynamics, every formula that we use and trust every day would cease to be valid. And furthermore, the first law of thermodynamics would cease to be valid, which therefore invalidates all of the disciplines of science. You know firsthand that this is not true, because you confirm these facts and laws countless times each and every day. It is true that some people justify their belief system that scientific facts and law can change by suggesting that, well, we just haven't discovered the exception yet. This often occurs with two scenarios. Argument number one, we cannot base our belief in scientific facts based on what we do not know. That happens to be a true statement, but in many cases, it is irrelevant. The conclusion of supernatural involvement for all three of the examples on the mentioned above, or mentioned previously, were based on what scientists do know, not what they do not know. Example one above is a very simple process of elimination. Although we did not discuss the other two examples in any detail, these conclusions are based on a similar process of elimination or by direct laboratory observations. Argument number two, for the creation of the universe and for life, the facts and laws could have been different in the past. That's what some people say. That's not a scientific statement at all. Science is defined by scientific ideas, scientific hypotheses, scientific theories, scientific facts, and scientific laws. In this argument, that the facts and laws could have been different in the past, that's just an idea. It doesn't even qualify as a scientific idea because no scientific support has been provided. That moves it from the realm of science to the realm of personal belief. That's actually quite comical because belief systems invoke various behaviors. If a person claims to believe that the facts and laws could have been different in the past, since they have no scientific basis for that claim, then, by their belief system, these facts and laws could be different today, or any time, for that matter. What would be the behavior outcome of someone who cannot believe or trust in anything at any time? Beliefs have consequences. As discussed above, these people do not really believe this. They merely state it, because they have bought into other false science, and it is the only way to justify their belief in that false science. This is not a little problem, it's a huge problem. Let me give you one example of a $20 billion investment spent with a primary stated purpose of supporting the Big Bang Theory. For decades, conventional telescope data of deep space did not support the Big Bang Theory. In 1995, the U.S. spent $1 billion on the Hubble telescope that was deliberately designed to peer deeper into space using observational science in order to solve this problem. Over the next almost 30 years, the U.S. spent another $15 billion with repairs and major upgrades of the Hubble telescope to peer deeper and deeper into space. More observational science. Why? They were looking for the missing discoveries that would support the Big Bang. You know, the things that we don't know yet. Decades later, continuing their effort to find that missing, unknown discovery, the U.S. spent $10 billion to launch the James Webb Telescope. The full expectation of scientists was to show once and for all that the universe came from a Big Bang, based on observational science. In 2022, they began to receive their James Webb data, our observational science. What new information did they discover? Well, the James Webb data of deep space supports the creation model, not the Big Bang. This is actually an understatement. The data of creation and Big Bang are mutually exclusive. The data that they discovered supports creation and defies Big Bang. That is based on observational science. The news reports from the James Webb Telescope today, they're pretty much limited to the discoveries that the Hubble Telescope is fully capable of seeing. So, if you believe, this is a belief system, that facts and laws change, you're certainly not alone. This $45 billion discussed above is proof of that. But this belief system is what is being taught in an effort to justify natural explanations that defy science, especially when supernatural explanations fit the science. In summary, scientific facts are always true. The proper use of scientific facts will also produce results that are true. The world is one giant laboratory of observational confirmation of these facts each and every day. However, improper use of the scientific facts will always produce invalid results. That does not mean that the scientific facts were wrong. It was the use that was wrong. Folks, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because people misuse facts, that does not indicate that the facts were wrong. Improper use can be the result of many factors, as we have discussed. For example, misunderstanding the facts, misunderstanding measurement limitations, we talked about three different types, misinterpretation of the data, failure to recognize the activities of our Creator God when they stare you in the face, or relying on agenda rather than facts. This is the most disconcerting factor, and all too often it is intentional. Agenda is particularly problematic when the people well described in Romans chapter 1 deliberately defy the existence and interactions of our Creator God. How can well-meaning scientists continue to propagate such false ideologies when agenda becomes more important than truth? Truth no longer matters. Let me repeat that. How can well-meaning scientists continue to propagate such false ideologies? The answer, when agenda becomes more important then truth. Truth no longer matters. So let's pray. Father, all too many scientists, teachers, and the media would like people to believe that there are no actual facts, that everything is subjective. This is a direct attack on truth, and specifically on you and your word. Father, I ask that you will shine your light on truth and make falsehoods glaringly obvious. Father, I ask that you would help all of us discern between truth and fiction. In so doing, I ask that you would also have that we could all have a better confidence in your word from cover to cover. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So once again, this is Jay Oxt of the Institute for Scientific and Biblical Research with another program produced for Wellspring Christian Family Schools. If you'd like to know more about ISBR, feel free to look at isbrministries.org. If you'd like to know more about Wellspring Christian Family Schools, feel free to look at wcfs.edu. God bless you and have a great week.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift the Father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.